Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to Balance Point. Please excuse the fact that we are running a little bit late today. That has to do with the fact that we have been having a little bit of technical difficulty. And in fact, we are still having some technical difficulty. That is very interesting. This is kind of weird. Oh, this is very bizarre. It's like we have one stream tonight, but we don't have the other stream, which is highly unusual. There we go. We now have streams on both services. Praise the Lord. Anyway, welcome to Balance Point. And apparently this must be a message that is a powerful message, because the enemy did not seem to want to let it go out. But you know what? The enemy doesn't get a say in the matter, because the word of God is going to be spread abroad, whether the enemy likes it or whether the enemy doesn't like it. So as far as I'm concerned, the enemy can just go and take a flying leap, because he has no part in this work. Anyway, let us open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne and we thank you that we have this technology and this opportunity to gather together in the name of your Son, Jesus. We ask, Father God, for a blessing on this time in our word as we study about the love that you have shown to your people through your Son, and in the name of your Son, we thank you. Amen and amen. Well, now, for the last few sessions, including our Thursday session, we've been preparing for Easter by looking at, believe it or not, the love of God. And we began by kind of taking apart the invitation that I usually give at the end of my messages for those who have not known the Lord or those who have wandered away from the Lord. And we looked at confession. We looked at God's love. We looked at the debt we owe and why we owe that debt, and even some of the benefits of the fact that God has allowed that debt to be placed. And today, we want to look at kind of the third thing in that confession, namely, the love of Jesus. And I guess the question that we have as we come into this time of the Easter season is, why did Jesus die? What drove Jesus to the cross? What held him to the cross? Because consider this. Jesus, as God, was under no obligation to stay on that cross. Jesus, as God, had the power to get off of the cross at any time that he chose to. Jesus, as God, had the ability to remove himself from that cross. The nails could not have held him from the cross, for Jesus made the iron that those nails were made from. Jesus made the cross of wood and even the hill upon which it stood. And yet he stayed on that cross. I submit to you that Jesus died because of love. Jesus died and he hung on the cross. We're going to celebrate that on Thursday evening. Our Thursday evening Bible study, we're going to be taking a little break from our study in Genesis, and we're going to reflect a little bit on the death and burial of Jesus. The death and burial of Christ. But consider this, that it was the love of Jesus that held him on the cross of wood, even though he was the creator who made the hill on which that cross stood. So why did Jesus die? Jesus died for love. And he died for the love of sinners. Matthew 23:37 reads, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Jesus died for his love for us. Now, this in itself is mind-blowing. In fact, the word tells us that, you know, it is quite possible that someone will die for one whom they love. In fact, one might even choose to die for a perfect stranger, given the right conditions. You know, if one were to see someone who was being abused or about to be killed, and you didn't even know them, you might even step into the way and give your life for themselves. But Jesus did something unthinkable. He gave his life for you and for me. Not because we were friends. Not even because we were strangers that he didn't know. No, Jesus died on the cross for you and for me when we were sinners. He died on the cross, not when we were lovely, but he died on the cross for us, believe it or not, when we were at war with him. And that is unbelievable. That is unthinkable. That is unimaginable. Again, we might die for someone we love. We might even be willing to give our lives for a stranger if it's a just cause. But imagine, I want you to imagine this. Just to momentarily put yourself in the shoes of Jesus. Imagine, if you will, the one person who has done you wrong. The one person who, to be really honest, you would love to see go up in flames. And imagine that one person being in a position in which they cannot make good. And because they can't make good, they will die. Now imagine taking their place. That is what Jesus did for you and for me. While we were yet enemies, he broke down the wall of partition that separated us from God. And he took upon himself the punishment that was due to me and to you. And he did that willingly. Why did Jesus die? He died for the love of sinners. But it wasn't only for the love of sinners. But Jesus died on our behalf because of the love of our Father God. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you might believe. Jesus died on the cross because of the love of the Father. You see, the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. And because the Son loves the Father, the Son was willing to do the unthinkable and to pay the debt that you and I cannot pay. Because the Son loved the Father so much, he was willing to do the Father's will on our behalf. Again, that's mind-blowing. That is a love that is unimaginable. That is a love that is unfathomable. To love someone so much. To be in such a tight relationship with someone that they are willing to do the will of that person, even to the point of laying down their life. What an awesome and crazy and amazing thought that the Father would love you so much, and that the Son would love the Father so much, that the Son would be willing to lay down his life. You see, there is a love triangle that goes on within the Godhead. The Father loves the Son and loves the Holy Spirit. The Son loves the Father and the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit loves the Father and the Son. And their love within the Godhead is so strong. The love within the Godhead is so great that something amazing happens. It's like music. Now, as a musician, I'm familiar with chords. You have two or more, usually three tones that are put together. And as you put together a chord, you have the root of the chord, or the fundamental note of the chord. And as you layer the different tones, different notes will come out. Or maybe an even better example would be plucking a guitar string. You pluck the low E string on a guitar, and you have that fundamental frequency that represents the entire length of the guitar string. That's the fundamental love of the Godhead for you and me. But within that fundamental frequency, there are sub-frequencies. And all of these frequencies put together make up the greater whole. That is the love of Christ. That is the love that resonated through all of history, that culminated at the crucifixion on Calvary. The love of God. Why did Jesus die? Because of his love for us. Because of his love for the Father. But why else would Jesus die? Because Jesus' death, Jesus' love, is a revelation of the Father. Jesus' love reveals the Father's love. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. Should have eternal life. Watch this. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. I want you to think about this. I want you to imagine this. How many times have we felt like God just is ready to beat on us? Like, you know, in fact, I remember seeing when I worked in a toy store, I remember seeing a doll, an action figure. And it was an action figure of Jesus. And one of the selling points on the package was, here's Jesus with super smiting action. And yet the word here tells us that God didn't send his son into the world to condemn. The Father didn't send the son to condemn. We're not condemned because Jesus was sent. And the love of God is revealed. Not the condemnation of God, but the love of God is revealed in the sending of Jesus. And the love of God is still being revealed in the sending of the people of the church. Oh, that we who are the body of Christ would recognize that we are to be reflections of a loving Father. We are to be like Jesus, who hung out with the tax collectors, the drunkards, the partiers, and the prostitutes. We're to be like Jesus, who hung out with the untouchables, the unlovables. You know, the folks that proper folks would give stank face to. The highest and greatest compliment that was ever given to Christ, because it was the highest and greatest revelation of the love of God, was when the church folk of Jesus' day said that this dude likes to hang out with sinners. May that be said of the people of Balance Point Church. May we be accused of being folks that hang out with sinners. How else are the sinners going to know the love of God? If we stay in our sanctified holy places, how will they be saved? How will they be saved? How will they know? Ephesians tells us, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive again with Christ. By grace we have been saved. You see, Jesus' love, Jesus' death, reveals the grace of God, reveals the Father's love. Why did Jesus die? Because the love that held him to the cross is meant to be an inspiration to us. It's meant to be an inspiration to us to reflect the love of God. The Old Testament, which a lot of people say is the harsh version of God, the Old Testament has this to say. This is the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:5. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. If we're loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we are going to be reflective of God's love. And what's that reflection? And you will love your neighbor as yourself. We are commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. All of the Old Testament is summed up. Jesus told us all of the Old Testament is summed up in those two commandments. How do we love our neighbor as ourselves? Well, we love them like God loved them. We love them like God loved them. Did God condemn unjustly? No. In fact, God went out of his way to save them. when they were groaning under the taskmasters of Egypt, God heard their cry and set them free. When they complained about no water in the wilderness, the rock which was Christ was struck on their behalf, and the water came out. When they turned their back on their king, God, and said, "We want a king like other countries," God gave them a king. And when they had prostituted themselves to other gods, God would have been within his legal right to divorce them. And yet God had said, "Those who were not my people shall be called my people, and I shall be called their God." And God brought them back, not once at the Babylonian, at the release from the Babylonian captivity, but twice he's brought them back into the land. And if God would do that for an unfaithful people, will he not do that for us? If God would do that for an unfaithful people, will he not do that for us? And so that becomes the example that we are to have. Putting it, and I want to read that similar passage, but I'm going to read it from the New Testament now. Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 39. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. He was trying to entrap Jesus, saying, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." You see, if we can do those two things, then we become reflective that God, that Jesus showed us when he came and he lived and he died on our behalf. You see, Jesus didn't have to come and die for us. But yet Jesus loved us enough that he stepped out of heaven and he loved us as he loved himself. See, Jesus had eternal life before becoming a man, and he still has eternal life. But he wanted us to have eternal life. Why? Because he loved us as he loves himself. If we're truly the body of Christ, we will love others as we love ourselves. Lastly, Jesus' love on the cross should be a motivator to us to live for God. It should motivate us. It should spur us on to living and loving good works. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." You see, when we think about what Jesus did some 2,000 years ago, we should be stirred up. Jesus was asked by the Father to lay his life down on the cross. At least here in America, for the time being, we have not been asked to lay down our lives for another. In many parts of the world, to spread the good news is a death sentence. To spread the gospel means you will die. There are many who are watching this stream in such countries. There are many who will hear the audio recording, the MP3, that just downloading a message like this is a death sentence. God hasn't asked us in the West to lay down our lives. And yet Jesus did lay down his life. So if Jesus laid down his life, why can't you and I hang with a little bit of ridicule? A little bit of name calling. Nobody's put spikes through my hands. Nobody's put spikes through your hands. If you live in America, you've not been crucified. You've not been under the threat of crucifixion. You've not been under the threat of prison. Nor have I. And yet, because we lose sight of the great love that Christ showed to us, because we lose sight of the great love that he gave to you and to me, we shrink back. We shrink back from telling our stories of where God found us and where God took us from. We shrink back. Why? Because we've lost sight of the love. We've lost sight of the grace, of the mercy. We've lost sight. Jesus' love for us should motivate us to good works. Does that mean that we run around like, you know, Tinkerbell spreading fairy dust of good works? Does it mean that we got to get weird, that we got to get strange? No, my brothers and sisters. It means that we live life constantly looking for ways that we can improve the lives of others. We talked about this last week. You see, original sin messed us up because we die. We lost perfect communion with God. But while we lost that perfect communion, God has given us an even greater capacity to show love and to show grace. Because we ourselves know what it is to be hurt. We ourselves know what it is to be cold, to be hungry, to be confused. And so as we receive the food of life, the food of the Spirit, as we receive the warmth of the fire of God's love in our hearts, as we receive the companionship and the presence of the Holy Spirit living within us and around us, we are then able to give those things away in turn. My dear brothers and sisters, this is the love that Jesus showed. This is the love that we didn't deserve, because when he showed it to us, we were his enemies. This is his grace. Father God, we thank you for this time in your word. And Father, we just pray that as people have heard this word, that they will just know how much you love them, how much the Son loves them. That they would know how much we here at Balance Point love them. And we ask, Father God, in your grace, just reveal greater and greater amounts of your love to them. And Father God, we just thank you, and we bless your name. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen and amen. If you've never given your life to the Lord, or maybe you once walked with him but you've turned away, I'd like to give you this opportunity now to either make a new commitment to God or recommit. And it's very simple, because God loves you. Jesus loves you. He didn't come here to condemn you, but he came that you might have eternal life. And getting that eternal life doesn't take some huge, you know, ordeal. You don't have to go through some great initiation, climb some mountain, spend 20 hours chanting, contemplating your navel. No. The word says if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Why is Jesus Lord? Because Jesus came from heaven, willingly walked the earth, died on the cross of wood, and was buried and set the captives from the grave free, making him Lord of heaven, earth, and the grave. Jesus is Lord. And God did raise him from the dead. We're going to celebrate that next weekend. So what's confession? Here's what confession is. Confession is saying the same thing about ourselves that God has already said about us. What has he said about us? One, he loves us. If you confess and you never confess God's love, then it's not a complete confession. Two, we fall short. We make mistakes. We blow it unintentionally, and sometimes, even intentionally, we do the wrong thing. Because of that, three, we cannot be in God's presence. Nor are we, do we have the ability to undo the damage that we've done. So four, God has done it all for us. He sent Jesus, and Jesus willingly came. He's done it all. So that five, it's just a gift. That's a confession. What's belief? Belief is nothing more than trust. Do you need some great amount of belief? Do you need to like go to the ocean and pull up a bucket of belief? No, you know how to believe. How do I know that? If you're sitting on a chair, you know how to believe. How can I say that? Well, do you know everything that happened to that chair since the last time you sat on it? When you sat on that chair, how did you know it was going to hold you? Yeah. Literally, belief is that simple. Literally. You see, every day we do things without complete knowledge. That's called faith. Now, admittedly, we do have many, many repetitions that show that what we're about to do is going to work out. Well, guess what? God is giving you many, many repetitions to know that he's good and that he wants you to live. You want proof of that? Try this. Exhale. Now inhale. How'd you know that inhale was going to work? Because over the course of your life, you've had many, many repetitions. Without God, you would not have been able to inhale. So, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And if you mean it from your heart, you are saved. It's just that simple. Father God, thank you for loving me. Father, I make mistakes. Sometimes I make them purposely. Sometimes I do the wrong thing purposely. But thank you for loving me enough that you sent your only son to pay the debt that I can't pay. Thank you for giving me the gift of eternal life. And for forgiving me. Lord God, send your Holy Spirit to live in me so that my life might declare that Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Father God, for this gift. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, we would like to hear from you. You can message me. I'm on Facebook. This video is going to be on my primary timeline. You can message me on Facebook. You can message me on YouTube. Go to Balance Point Church. That's our YouTube page. On that YouTube page, you'll actually find a lot of our old sermons, a lot of our old messages. You can email us at our website. Just email me at staff@balance-point.org. Let us know that you prayed this prayer. We'd love to hear from you. We'd also love to come into agreement with you. If you don't have a church home, you need to get plugged into a church home. We can help you get plugged into a church somewhere local to you. Or if you're in a place, or maybe you're a shut-in, a homebound person, and you can't get to a church, we would love to have you become part of the Balance Point community. And doing that is as simple as going to our ministry center on the internet at www.balance-point.org. Register an account with the contact information where we can get back to you. And we will help you to get established in a church home. Again, we at Balance Point want to welcome you to the family of God. Next week, we will be celebrating the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We would love for you to join us in that celebration. And we would love for you to invite many others to join with you. We'll be gathering together online as we do every week. We also have some upcoming, just awesome things that are coming along. One of the biggest things and biggest changes that we are doing is we're actually moving our online sanctuary from the Church Online platform. And I'd like to right here thank lifechurch.tv for creating the Church Online platform. At the point when we started using it, there were things that we could do there that we could not do through our regular web host and through our regular website. But now the technology has changed where a lot of the things that we are getting with Church Online, we can now actually accomplish within our own website. And that's going to make it easier, one, for us here at Balance Point to be able to serve you in a more efficient way. But not only that, it's going to actually make it easier for the members of Balance Point, because we won't have, like, you know, four or five different places where one can go. We're going to eventually have everything kind of hosted within our website. We are looking at being able to actually host online small groups right from within the ministry center at Balance Point. And we are looking forward to being able to bring that to you. Last but not least, if you are at one of our Balance Point locations, one of our Balance Point groups, now would be the time for you to take up your local offering. Again, here at Balance Point, we don't take up a master offering that comes back here to California to then be redistributed out to all of the Balance Point groups, but rather each Balance Point location takes up their own offering for uses and serving the needs of their own community. And so, and we do that because we feel that as spread out as the Balance Point communities are, it would not be efficient for offerings to come back here to Willowbrook, Wilmington, and then be redispersed back out across the planet. First off, that would just be horrible on exchange rates, and the administration of that would just be a total nightmare. Especially when you consider that right now Balance Point is being served up in well over 40 different countries and territories. Now, if you would like to help Balance Point, we do solicit one bit of help. We would like to have human transcription happen for our messages in order to make our messages, in order, one, to close caption our messages. But the second reason we would like to begin having human transcription is because that will allow for better translation of our messages and make the text of our message available in multiple languages. And so if you are good at transcription, or maybe you're good at translation and you would like to help us, we would love to hear from you. To this day, I still have no clue how and why Balance Point has been spread in so many languages and so many countries, especially considering that I do all of my teaching in English. But I believe that it would be a blessing to those who are part of the Balance Point family to be able to have the messages in their own language. So if you have that capability, we would love to hear from you. And now, prepare to receive the blessing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who each in their own way have shown us their loving kindness, their grace, and their mercy. Please go in peace as you love and serve the Lord this week. Amen and amen.